As we come to the end of our season of Eastertide, we turn to the final summary message from Jesus. It's called the farewell discourse, the farewell speech that Jesus gave to his disciples before he was arrested and crucified. It's in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, and I highly recommend that during this holiday weekend, during this time where you may have, during this week where you may have some extra time, to read those chapters in one sitting, John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Jesus is preparing the disciples for a time when he will not be physically present with them. And so he's speaking with confidence, with knowledge of the future. He knows what will happen. And with great concern, he's summarizing his entire teachings. And probably the most familiar words are from John chapter 14. Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going." And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus says, "Abide in me, follow me, turn to me. As you go into the future, I'm not leaving you orphaned. I'm going to send a paraclete, an encourager, an advocate for you, the Spirit of God and my Spirit as well to guide you forward. I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's encouragement. That's confidence building in the disciples of the first century and the disciples of today as well. The particular verses from these chapters that I want to share with you are these words. "If you love me," says Jesus, "if you love me, you will keep my commandments." And then he goes on to explain in summary fashion, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another," John 15, 17. "To all the children of covenant, when they receive a Bible and I write a note of encouragement, I always sign it also John 15, 17. And some of you, if you check your Bibles, will find I've underlined those words in your Bible itself. Memorial Day is a national holiday, and we honor those who have laid down their life for their country. They have died in military service. They died securing something bigger than themselves. They secured our safety. They provided for the continuing growth of our nation. But they also were embracing the core values and protecting these of freedom, liberty, justice, equality for all. Their service also protects a society that grants tremendous religious freedom. We can form a community of faith-filled people without persecution. We are allowed to worship freely without government tampering or control or oppression. As Christians in America, we too can readily identify with this concept of sacrifice for freedom. For it was our Lord Jesus who, while we were yet sinners, was willing to die on the cross on our behalf, that we could live vitally and free here on earth and serve others, and then eventually experience glory in heaven as well. We rejoice in this wondrous love that God has for us, for you, for me, for all people of the world. What wondrous love. There's a beautiful hymn, "What Wondrous Love Is This," and our music people will sing this. It's a haunting melody with powerful words. "What wondrous love is this, O my soul? O my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul? Jesus died, took our sins upon himself so that we could live. Now, in 1811, this hymn was first put in print in a campfire hymnal. And the other verses are the same as 1811. From the founding of this country, these words were sung by our brothers and sisters in faith. But the first verse, instead of what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse? Instead of that, it's what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to send this precious peace. I've asked our music people to substitute those original words, to send this precious peace. I think they're appropriate not only for us in our Christian faith, God, through God's gift and sacrifice and service, brings to us the peace that passeth all understanding. But I think that's also especially relevant and appropriate on a Memorial Day weekend when we reach out and support those who grieve on this Memorial Day. We offer to them the peace of God, the hope of God to everlasting life. And indeed, when from death we are free, we will sing on. my childhood memories of Memorial Day focus on family time and family connections. I can remember as a young child that this was a day where we were off from school, and often there would be gatherings either in our backyard with some family, or it might even be a family reunion where we were with all the cousins and the aunts and uncles as well. If it was of that nature, we were usually where there was wide open spaces, such as the community park in New Holland, or my Uncle Joe and Uncle Jim both had big yards, and we'd be there. And they would have the badminton net set up and the quoits. We played quoits. Not, we weren't a horseshoe family growing up. We were quoits, metal rings that you would throw onto a spike. And I must say, of all the cousins, I was one of the better quoit players. It was pure joy. Visiting, running around, playing, and also the feast. This was the first picnic of summer. And so everybody brought their potato salad, their macaroni salad without, oh, we call it pasta salad now, coleslaw. There were rules about hot dogs and hamburgers, though, and I tried to teach these to my children, but I failed. For hot dogs, you put on mustard. Hamburgers, you put on ketchup. But my children got confused, and to this day, put ketchup on hot dogs, mustard on hamburgers. Oh, oh my. We had fun. And the galvanized tub. I can remember my dad driving down. At the bottom of Pennsylvania Avenue in Coatesville was an ice house. And you'd take your galvanized tub to the back of the ice house and put it under the chopper. They'd have tongs and bring out a big block of ice, run it through the chopper, and you get this big tub of ice. And then when you got to the picnic, they'd fill that tub of ice with soda bottles, knee-high, orange and grape. I know were there because they were my favorites. There may have been other flavors too, but I didn't touch them. And RC Cola. So that topped it off. Because not only could you have one soda, but we could have two sodas. It was a great time. As a child, though, through the years, we grew to understand, or I grew to understand, that there were more meanings to Memorial Day. And we might visit a national monument. Or a national cemetery. Or we'd watch people placing flags on graves in a local cemetery. Or maybe attend a parade. In fact, right here in Malvern, we have what I believe is the longest continuous Memorial Day parade in the nation. It's been postponed to September, so you have to Google the exact date and information. But it was a time to learn more about what Memorial Day was really all about. A time to reflect for ourselves. What is the relationship of faith and country? Our sanctuary reflects this very well, the relationship of faith and country. For those that may not have been in our physical building at Covenant, I'll describe it to you. When you sit in the church, you face what we call the chancel. And there is hanging is a large wooden cross, the cross of Christ, the cross of freedom and sacrifice. In the center also is a pulpit with the Bible. We are people of the Word. God's Word is alive and speaks to us today. Alongside the pulpit is the baptismal font, the waters of grace that are showered upon us as we grow in faith. And then there's the communion table, the Lord's table, the bread, the wine that nurture us to the depth of our being. These are all God objects in the front. And Christians from around the world can worship in this setting. In fact, we've been blessed, I know, to honor, I think of individual people at this point, honor people from Germany, England, Iceland, India, Zimbabwe, Chile, Mexico, Canada, Japan, and Hungary. And you may know of others that have worshiped with us from around the world. Sisters and brothers coming to faith. All God objects. And then when we leave the sanctuary following worship, we go out through the church foyer, and above the door is the American flag. We go with our faith to serve in our nation and our country, and that is the United States of America. We're called to serve. Jesus made it clear. We're called to love one another. I want to draw insights from a 4-star Air Force general, retired now, General Roger Brady, who just a few years ago wrote an article in Christianity Today. And here he expresses a similar thought. Most Americans will never serve in the military. And even among those who do, very few of us are asked to give the last measure of devotion. So what is the question for us on this day as we remember those Americans who died on our behalf? I believe that question is, for what shall we live? I love those words, for what shall we live? And that's what we learned from Jesus in the farewell narrative. We learned that we are to love one another. We are to continue the mission and the work of Jesus himself. The general writes, when evil strikes in the form of a school shooting, or when nature unleashes its fury, boy, don't we understand that today, and devastates property and lives, when children suffer, when people are hungry or homeless and ask, where is God? We must be there and have them see him in us. I love that, having people see God in us, in the way that we bring comfort and the way that we bring healing in the name of God in Christ Jesus. And we start right here in our nation. I have an additional thought here. This story came to me from a retired history teacher, and I assume this is a true story. I don't know the history of this story, but it's about a teacher bringing balloons to a very large class of young students. And these students were instructed to blow them up, tie them off, and then put their name on their balloon. Then the teacher took all the balloons and scattered them in the hallway outside of the classroom. And then the teacher gave instructions. Okay, when I say ready, set, go, you run into the hallway and find your balloon. Find the balloon with your name on it. Well, the teacher said, ready, set, go. And of course the kids ran for the door. They jammed up and they're shoving and pushing. They get out in the hallway and within 5 minutes, they still haven't found the balloon with their name on it. So the teacher yelled, stop, and said, okay, here's what I want you to do. Pick up the balloon closest to you, read the name, give it to that person whose name is on the balloon. And within 2 minutes, each child had their own balloon. I went back into the classroom and the teacher explained, balloons are like happiness. No one will find it looking for theirs only. Instead, if everyone cares about each other, they will find their happiness as quickly as possible. Let's care for each other. As General Brady said, let's live a life of service to something larger than ourselves, to children who need teaching, to people who need help in a time of need, to friends who need, and colleagues who need comfort in times of sorrow. For what shall we live? Rabbi Jesus, our risen Lord, said, love one another.